We spent the better part of 2025 circling the terrain. Science and philosophy, society and politics, the machinery of markets, the psychology of crowds, the ethics of systems. We named patterns, traced consequences, and held up problems like stones in the palm, turning them until their edges caught the light. But a year of diagnosis eventually asks a deeper question, the one that decides whether any of this is worth doing at all. Why? Why contemplate these topics? Why argue? Why refine language? Why bother disentangling the knots of power, information, incentive, identity, and belief when the world keeps moving whether we understand it or not? Lately, my mind has been occupied by formalisms, by the clean, comforting geometry of models. So the simplest place to begin is with a reminder I wrote in October: the margin of error, precision, uncertainty, and the reliability of data. Measurement is translation. Every act of measurement is an act of translation. Reality does not hand us numbers. We take readings, impose instruments, and decide what counts as signal and what we will dismiss as noise. Between what is and what we record, there is always a gap, sometimes trivial, sometimes decisive, always present. That gap is not an embarrassment. It is the condition of knowing. We are trained, especially in technical cultures, to worship precision, more decimal places, tighter tolerances, better sensors, cleaner data sets. But precision is not the same as truth, and certainty is not the same as understanding. Precision can be theater, confidence wearing a costume. Our scientific formalisms are theories, and theories are approximations. They can be astonishing, beautiful, and world-changing, and still be approximations. We approximate pi in our equations. Reality does not. We truncate series terms because they contribute nothing at our scale. Reality does not. We linearize, smooth, idealize. We assume frictionless planes, point masses, ideal gases, closed systems, independent variables, stationary distributions, not because we are foolish, but because without simplification we cannot act, without models we cannot build, without compressions of complexity we cannot think. And yet in that necessity, a subtle danger appears. We begin to confuse the map for the territory. We forget the simplification was a choice. We forget the conditions under which the approximation holds. We forget that what we call data is already theory-laden, framed and filtered by the tool that produced it and the mind that interprets it. This is not a problem that lives only in laboratories. This is the problem of living in a world mediated by representations. Proxies and the tyranny of legibility. A society runs on measurements as much as a lab does. The inflation number, the unemployment rate, the crime statistic, the engagement metric, the risk score, the poll, the model output, the consensus. Each is a reading taken by an instrument, sometimes literal, often institutional, increasingly algorithmic, and each has a margin of error that is rarely felt in the headline, rarely admitted in the speech, and rarely respected in the policy meeting. The number arrives as if it were a fact of nature, rather than the end product of definitions, incentives, sampling choices, and methodological compromise. This is why contemplation matters, not as poetry, but as practice, because the world we inhabit is not only made of things, it is made of measurements about things. And measurements do not merely describe reality, they shape it. What gets measured becomes legible, and what becomes legible becomes governable. What becomes governable becomes optimizable, and what gets optimized often becomes distorted, because optimization is merciless toward what the instrument cannot see. This is the quiet tyranny of proxies. We cannot measure trust directly, so we measure clicks. We cannot measure learning directly, so we measure test scores. We cannot measure human flourishing directly, so we measure productivity. We cannot measure truth directly, so we measure consensus. Proxies are necessary, but they are also dangerous. They make the world manageable by making it smaller, and the smaller world begins to replace the real one. Calibration as an ethic. In science, we respond to this danger with discipline. We name uncertainty, separate systematic error from random error, calibrate instruments against standards, replicate experiments to see whether a pattern survives different hands and environments, and propagate error through calculations so we remember how fragility can hide in a single step and dominate the entire chain. We do not do this because we love doubt for its own sake. We do it because we want our confidence to be deserved. Outside of science, we often do the opposite. We treat uncertainty as weakness, caveats as indecision, and nuance as betrayal. Public discourse rewards the tone of certainty, not the ethics of accuracy. It rewards the clean conclusion, not the honest interval. But reality does not reward certainty. Reality rewards calibration. This is why discussions matter. Not because conversation is inherently virtuous, but because conversation done well is a form of calibration. It brings our internal instruments into contact with other instruments. It is replication for beliefs. When you speak with someone who sees differently, one of two things happens. Your model breaks or it holds. If it breaks, you learn where it was brittle. If it holds, you learn where it is resilient. Either outcome is useful if your goal is truth rather than victory. Most of our beliefs are not wrong because they are evil. They are wrong because they were never calibrated. They were inherited, absorbed, fitted to a narrow data set of personal experience, reinforced by social reward, and optimized for belonging. Beliefs can be precise and still be false. That is the lesson of systematic error. A miscalibrated scale can produce consistent measurements that are consistently wrong. A community can do the same. The drift of modern instruments. Recommendation engines are instruments. They do not measure truth. They measure attention. They do not calibrate toward reality. They calibrate toward retention. Their output can be precise, astonishingly precise, without being reliable in any human sense. They can learn your habits with surgical accuracy while leading you further from what matters. Their confidence is not epistemic, it is behavioral. It is the confidence of prediction, not the confidence of understanding. This is not an argument against technology. It is an argument for discernment and a reminder that not all precision is wisdom. Discernment, not cynicism. To contemplate is to slow down the reflex that turns outputs into beliefs. It is to look at a claim and ask what instrument produced it, what was measured, what was not measured, and what assumptions sit beneath the reading. It is to ask about margin of error and incentive structure, and to consider whether the error might be systematic rather than random. It is to wonder what replication would require. Cynicism dismisses. Discernment investigates. And if we are going to build better systems, scientific, social, political, we need more of the latter. Not because the world is hopeless, but because progress requires honesty about what our instruments can and cannot see. Contemplation as maintenance. We are living through an era where the aesthetics of certainty have become cheap. A model can generate fluent explanations. A graph can be plotted in seconds. A dashboard can update in real time. A statistic can be clipped into a shareable image. The world has never had so many numbers, and yet numbers do not guarantee clarity. Often they do the opposite. They create the illusion that because we can count something, we understand it. The question is not whether we will use approximations. We must. The question is whether we will remember that they are approximations. This is where contemplation becomes more than a hobby. It becomes a safeguard. And the safeguard is not merely intellectual, it is moral. Once a measurement becomes a proxy and the proxy becomes a target, a strange inversion takes place. The tool begins to govern the world it was meant to describe. We retrofit life to the metric. We optimize humans for the instrument. We compress the irreducible into what can be scored, ranked, predicted, and controlled. This is why it is necessary to keep returning to first principles. Not only whether a statement is true, but what it is doing, what it enables, what it obscures, what kind of person it turns you into when you believe it. The margin of error is not only a technical constraint, it is a moral teacher. It tells us humility is not weakness, it is alignment with the structure of reality. It tells us arrogance is not confidence, it is a failure to account for the unknown. It tells us the most dangerous lies are not always the dramatic ones, but the clean, confident ones spoken without error bars. We should not abandon models. We should mature in our relationship to them. A mature relationship to theory says, this works within these conditions. A mature relationship to data says, this suggests, it does not decree. A mature relationship to discourse says, I might be wrong and I want to find out. This is not a call to endless hesitation. The world still requires action. But action without contemplation becomes reflex. Reflex becomes ideology. Ideology becomes a miscalibrated instrument we wield with the certainty of a machine. The point is not to become paralyzed by uncertainty. The point is to carry uncertainty honestly while we move. a posture for what comes next. The alternative is already visible everywhere. People who speak in absolutes about systems they do not understand, armed with graphs they cannot interpret, repeating narratives that flatter their tribe, mistaking virality for validity, and repetition for replication. When enough people do this, the collective instrument drifts. A society loses calibration. It cannot agree on what is happening because it cannot agree on how to measure what is happening. It cannot correct course because every correction is interpreted as betrayal by someone whose model has become sacred. Contemplation, then, is not a luxury. It is maintenance. It is the act of recalibrating the self in a world of noisy signals. It is the willingness to treat beliefs as provisional models rather than permanent identities. It is the courage to revise. If 2025 was about naming the terrain, then this next movement is about learning how to walk it, without perfect certainty, but with honest instruments, respect for limits, and the humility to include error bars not only in our charts, but in our convictions. Reality is more intricate than our equations. That is not a failure of science. It is the reason science remains alive. The same is true for our social and political life. The world is more intricate than our narratives. That is not a failure of discourse. It is the reason discourse must remain open, replicable, corrigible, grounded. So we begin here with the simplest reminder dressed in technical language and carrying a human lesson. Our formalisms are approximations, our measurements are translations, our beliefs are models, and our conversations are calibration. The work ahead is not to abolish uncertainty, but to live intelligently within it, not as an excuse, but as an ethic. Let this be the posture for what comes next. Precise in method, generous in interpretation, honest about the margin that makes us human.